Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening, rugby fans, and welcome to episode 71 of the DNVR Rugby Podcast. My name is Colton Strickler. As always, I'm your host. And if you're wondering why we had a little bit different of an intro today, that's because today is the one-year anniversary of the DNVR Rugby Podcast. So that's right, the DNVR Rugby Podcast, previously the DNVR Raptors Podcast, was born on January 15th, 2020. What a year it has been. Looking back at we started out talking about the Raptors. The Raptors went by the wayside, withdrew from MLR, COVID hit. It's been a whirlwind of a year, but here we are, we're still going through it. It's funny to kind of look back and see just like how naive I was and how naive we all were, you know, focusing on rugby when, the world was about to stop turning, but, we made it. This is a 1 year anniversary. So it feels so weird to say that. But I wanted to start the show off by acknowledging that, say thank you to everyone that's listened over the last year. Thanks to everyone that's interacted on Twitter, anything, followed along, interacted, told a friend. I really appreciate it. It's awesome to be able to say I've been doing this for a year, and I'm looking forward to another good year, hopefully a little bit better year, obviously, all around with the global circumstances and whatnot. But here we are, 1 year anniversary of the podcast, and I think I got a good one for everybody today. So start the show off the same way we do every week. That's by jumping into the breakdown. So for those just listening for the first time, breakdown's a weekly roundup of news. Start local, we move globally. It's really been a pretty quiet week of news around here, especially like around rugby. There's obviously big signings happening everywhere. You look to Rooney. Rooney's kind of cleaning up right now, but I'll go ahead and start with a little bit of news about a former Raptor that got signed this week and is probably the biggest Raptor piece of news in terms of signing. And that's Renee Ranger. He's signed to play with the Crusaders for the 2021 season. So Renee Ranger, obviously that was the big draw last year. A lot of people were looking forward to see Renee play here, and he did. He had a good season, a very good shortened season, I guess. He very literally, like, I remember seeing him around the facility like 3 days before the season started, before they jumped on a plane and flew to Houston. So he had taken, you know, a flight from New Zealand to Denver and, you know, got here, jumped straight into training. Like, he was training the day he landed, trained, I think, for like 2 days. And then I was on another plane on Friday flying out to Houston to play in the season opener. And I know he played, I think, about 15 minutes towards the end of that match. And obviously, when you're jumping into an environment like that, you had some issues with his body. So I think he had like a hamstring or something that he was dealing with, that I think he ended up pulling in the second week. So he played significant minutes in that second match against the San Diego Legion out in Vegas as part of the MLR 2020 Las Vegas trip. He ended up missing, I believe, that third game, came back for that fourth game against the Utah Warriors, scored two big tries in that match. And then I think he played like a full 80 minutes. I mean, maybe 70 minutes because he got a yellow card in that Toronto Arrows match to close out the season, but played like a full match that day. So he was just like, you could see he was just kind of getting back into form, was looking good. Obviously was starting to show what he could do, the type of player that he was. He obviously scored two tries in that Utah game, like I mentioned, had another big hit in that match as well. So it's good to see him get signed. Good to see him playing Super Rugby again. That's going to be fun to watch. And for everyone listening to this, I think me and the fine folks at DNVR have some Super Rugby content that we're cooking up. So make sure to stay tuned for all that. And it'll be fun to keep an eye on a former Raptor over there in the competition as well. So congrats to Renee Ranger. Every interaction I had with him here is a very nice guy. Wish him nothing but the best. And we'll have a good time looking forward to watching him play over in Super Rugby. That was some kind of tough to get through. So that's the first little bit of news I wanted to get through in the breakdown. Then we'll kind of just go ahead and jump into the rugby you can watch this weekend, because that's the next piece of news. And this next piece of news, unfortunately, has a big impact on the rugby that you can watch this weekend. So Premiership Rugby will take a two-week mid-season break after it announced the European Rugby's Heineken Champions Cup and Challenge Cup has been suspended. So COVID is popping off big in Europe right now, as I'm sure you're all aware. So I'll go ahead and read you this article from The Independent. Kind of gives you some more info on why they're shutting things down for 2 weeks here in the Premiership. And obviously, that's like they said in that headline before, it's right in the middle of the season. So I know we've been talking about it every week on the show, just going through the fixtures. So there will be no Premiership to watch this week or next week, unfortunately, and I'll go ahead and read this article right now. So Premiership Rugby will take a two-week mid-season break after it was announced European Rugby's Heineken Champions Cup and Challenge Cup had been suspended. The French authorities decided it was too great a public health risk for top 14 clubs to take part in the cup competitions amid concern over the new COVID-19 variant. European professional club rugby had hoped to avoid a break by drawing up new coronavirus protocols, including the introduction of testing 3 days before matches. But after the French government ordered its clubs to postpone their January fixtures, the EPCR has reluctantly called a halt with two rounds of group stage fixtures still to play. An ECPR statement said the following, quote, following a directive from the French authorities that the participation of top 14 clubs in the Heineken Champions Cup and Challenge Cup at the current time constitutes too great a public health risk, EPCR has no choice but to announce that the 2020-2021 tournaments are temporarily suspended. Quote, ECPR and the Ligue Nationale de Rugby took part in a meeting by audio conference last week with representatives of the French Ministries of the Interior, Health, and Sport, as well as the President's Office. Notable updates to EPCR's COVID-19 protocols were presented to the French authorities, including the addition of PCR tests no earlier than 3 days before matches in the tournaments, conforming to French government guidelines and supplementing the existing meticulous contact tracing measures put in place with a view to limiting the risk of transmission. Against the backdrop of the recent detection of a new strain of coronavirus, the French government has directed that French clubs postpone their participation in EPCR's tournaments for the next month of January, both for matches scheduled in France and for those to be played in the United Kingdom and Ireland. On the basis of this directive, EPCR had no choice but to temporarily suspend the pool stage of the Heineken Champions Cup and the preliminary stages of the Challenge Cup. The EPCR said it remains committed to trying to find a solution which will enable it to resume and compete the tournaments as soon as practicable. In the wake of the ECPR statements, Premiership Rugby announced a fortnight's mid-season break. Chief Executive Darren Child said the welfare of everyone involved in Premiership Rugby is crucial to us, and this break in the season gives us the chance to hand some much-needed rest to our hardworking players, management, staff, and match officials. The Gallagher Premiership Rugby season will return as scheduled on Friday, January 29th, when Bristol Bears host Bath Rugby live on BT Sport. So that's on Peacock here for us in the States. The decision to suspend both European competitions could have an impact on the forthcoming Six Nations Championship, with France due to play their opening two games away next month before facing England at Twickenham on March 13th. So obviously like a lot in play there with that article. They do a good job breaking down of why everything's happening. So in terms of, I guess, the rugby that you can watch, I think there is one Guinness Pro 14 match on this weekend. Last I checked, it had not gotten canceled. I'm doing some Googling really quick right now. Yeah, it looks as of 2 days ago, so I'm recording this on Thursday, that there is one match scheduled to be played. That's Glasgow Warriors versus Edinburgh. That's on Saturday at 10:15 a.m. Mountain Time, and you can watch that match on ESPN Plus. So I think that should be like the only match that you'll be able to watch this weekend, which is a bummer, but that's just kind of the way of the world. And I think it's kind of interesting. I know one of the things I talked about when all this rugby was getting set to be played, and you know, organizations and leagues were trying to push on with the season as normal as it can be, I guess. It was going to be interesting to see how they handled all this stuff. And even just like over here in the States, we've kind of seen like the NFL, for better or for worse, has, you know, managed to not cancel any games. They played all the games they were supposed to. Some games got pushed back like a week or so. The Broncos had to play a game without a quarterback. The Saints had to play some games without running backs or whatever. Where the Browns had to play some games without receivers or something like that. It's interesting to see like how it was going to happen and how they were going to react and be proactive. And some leagues have handled it better than others, but like for the most part, they've been able to push on. And then when you think about even just going back to last March, that just seemed like not a possibility at all. So just take a 2 week break and we'll get back to our regular scheduled programming in 2 weeks and we'll march on. So until then, I think we have one match to watch this weekend. I think we've got one or two to watch next weekend. Hopefully those go on as planned. As like I said, the last thing I saw was looked all good to go. But until then, that's what we'll have to deal with. So that's the end of the breakdown this week. So now we'll go ahead and jump into the interview portion of the show. I had a really good interview with Mosay Timoteo yesterday. So for those unfamiliar, Mosay is kind of a legend of the game. He's done literally like everything there is to do in American rugby. He's got a very interesting story. And of course, now his path has led him here. He's going to be helping out on the coaching side of things with the Rugby Town Crossover Academy. So I had the chance to sit down with Mosay the other day, talked about all that stuff, talked about his story, talked about his rugby career, talked about coaching, and talked about his take on kind of what's happening here with the Crossover Academy and what he's seen since he's been involved these last few months. So Mosay was a guy that was out at the camp back in November, so he had a very unique perspective. He had an up close, you know, front row seat watching these guys develop and learn and all that stuff. So really good conversation with Mosay. I really enjoyed it, and I hope everybody does as well. So with that introduction, we'll go ahead and kick it to my conversation with one of the newest coaches of the Rugby Town Crossover Academy, Mosay Timoteo. All right, now welcome onto the show the newest coach of the Rugby Town Crossover Academy, Mosay Timoteo. Mosay, how's it going, man?
Good. I'm happy and glad to be here.
Yeah. I'm happy that you took the time to come chat with me. I know I'm looking forward to it. I think I did my research about as well as I could on you. So here we go. So Mosay, the first question we ask everybody that comes on the show is just, can you tell us a little bit about where you're from?
I was born and raised in American Samoa. And went to high school there, and then joined the military from there.
Yeah.
So most of my life is American Samoa. Well, half of my life was in American Samoa. Yeah.
And then for people that don't know where this is, because I had to look this up. So can you like tell us on a map like where that is?
So Fiji, Tonga, Samoa, around that area, like five hours south of Hawaii.
Okay.
So kind of like in the middle of the South Pacific.
Yeah.
And right there on the equator. So it's just like a dot on the map.
A little tiny dot.
Yeah, little tiny dot on the map. So yeah.
That's awesome. So. I would assume that has a lot, you know, where you're from has a lot to do with why you started to play rugby. But can you tell us, like, when you started to play and just, like, how you got introduced to the sport and, how you started to play rugby?
Yeah. So American Samoa concentrate more on football, like, especially, like, high school.
Really?
We don't have rugby in high school.
That's interesting to me.
Yes. And, growing up is all about football. And then our village, like each village has their own rugby team. They don't have like under 21 or like youth group rugby teams and stuff. And, you know, it's like you watch the Samoan national team and you go out and play. But then the senior guys get to play the rugby. So you get to go to high school, you play football.
Yeah.
And when I started playing rugby in my freshman year, they started having like under 21 back then that's when I kind of like I'm gonna hop on my village team and then continue playing football and playing rugby.
Interesting. So before they like carved out a team designated for you, was it just like thrown to the wolves, like if you wanted to play, like were you just playing with the national side like for the villages, or is that like you're playing, you could be like 19 playing with like a 27-year-old.
Yes,
like,
wow. That's true. That's the thing. I was like, 14 at the time?
14.
And I was playing with guys that are like 21 from the village team.
Right.
And the position that I was thrown to, I was a wing at the time. So I was fast, quick. So I was just like out there just catching balls from these guys.
Yeah,
and
trying not to get tackled by these adult men.
That's true, yeah.
That's funny. Yeah, so that's interesting. I didn't know that about football. Mm-hmm. I did read that you played a little football as a running back and corner. Is that right?
Yes.
So football, was that kind of your first love? Like when did you start playing football?
When I started my freshman year, I didn't play. I was very timid. Like to go.
Yeah, yeah.
Because there was guys like senior guys.
Yeah.
That, like, very. So my sophomore year, one of my cousins just like, hey, let's go try out for the football team. And I was like, okay, let's go. Because, football is like huge in the island and stuff like this.
Right.
Back then they had like only four high schools at the time.
Okay.
Now I think they have like eight.
Yeah.
Eight
that's what I was going to ask. Like how many different like villages and stuff were.
Oh, yeah.
You said each one had their own teams.
Now it's like more high school. So there's more games. Back then we only play eight games.
Yeah.
We play a home and an away game against those team and stuff. And, the start of my sophomore year, I was like, okay, let's go try out. They put me at corner and I was fast enough to cover receivers.
Yeah.
And they're like, they were shocked. So I end up starting my sophomore year at cornerback. Yeah. And it was funny because my freshman year, someone at Shark, the high school that I went to, was 0-8.
Oh, yeah.
The season. And then when I played, we went 8-0.
Oh, nice.
And it's funny.
What's that like? Are you just like king of the island?
They say, who is this guy? They had a guy that was playing at this high school that was dominating high school football in American Samoa.
Yeah.
His name is Darnell Omiti.
Okay.
He went to CU. He was a receiver. Yeah. He was like the best receiver.
Look him up.
Yeah. He was the best receiver on the island and he was fast. They called him Jerry Rice at the time.
Oh, yeah.
So I was covering this guy.
Yeah.
And our first scrimmage, the reason why I got the job is our first scrimmage was against that high school. And I was covering this guy. I end up having like 3 interceptions.
Yeah, you put the clamps on him.
On him. And then they're like, who is this guy? And then all of a sudden,
That's awesome.
And that's when, I was just like, from there on, I was just like top of my game every single time.
That sounds awesome. So, like I said, you guys run the table. Are you just guys are like king of the island then? Like,
That's when someone was like the best high school.
Yeah. I'm going to have to look that guy up. I never heard that. Yeah. That's interesting, though. I didn't know this about American Samoa. Mm-hmm. So this might be kind of a weird question because I know that we're like jumping over a lot of steps, but how did you wind up in Colorado?
My wife now, she used to work for the U.S. rugby, team office.
Okay.
And she lives here for almost 15 years, okay. I think, but she's been here. So when I was in San Francisco, it's either she come over.
Yeah.
That's very expensive.
Yeah,
or
yeah,
come here, which is I can easily find a job. And she left the USA Rugby and got a good job with International Research of Lung Cancer.
Oh,
and
cool.
She works with these doctors. I was like, you know what? I'll just come over there. I can just find a job and you keep your job and stuff. So that's the reason why I moved.
And when was that? That was what,
2014.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I don't know if you remember me, Mosay. I used to like intern here for like in the PRP days. So I remember like seeing you around, but I didn't know that was like your first year here. Cause I was like right when I was in college.
Yeah.
So that's interesting though. But I know I read you were in the Army as well. You kind of mentioned that already. So that's like, when did you go into the Army? Was that like right after high school?
No, I spent 1 year in community college in American Samoa.
Okay.
And then I've decided with a single mom, might as well just join the military and just kind of help my family out.
Right.
So that's when I was like, this is the chance to get off island and help my mom out and stuff.
Okay.
And, and be that guy that the grown up that I need to help the family. Yeah. So that's when it was like 96. So I was graduated high school 94.
Yeah.
95, I was at college.
Okay.
Community college. And then 96, I joined the Army.
Okay.
From there, yeah.
So where do they send you then? Like once you enlist in the Army, where?
So I did my training in Fort Benning, Georgia.
Okay.
And then from there, they sent me to New York.
Okay.
Wow. Upstate New York. Yeah.
Bounce around a little bit.
Oh my God. It was an experience of a lifetime.
Right.
It was funny because when I came from Samoa, I didn't have anything. I just wore a t-shirt, jean shorts, and flip-flops.
Yeah.
So I went straight to boot camp. After training there, my AIT, got my orders, graduated, got my orders the same day, and they say we're reporting tomorrow, the next day.
So you don't even get like,
no.
Enjoy it at all?
No.
You're just like, yeah, I did it, and then you're gone.
And the funny thing is I didn't get a chance to like buy any warm clothing.
Oh, so
and this
just,
was like in February.
Yeah, so you're going from the south up where it's freezing cold, like East Coast bone chilling cold.
Oh, I was in shock because when I took the airplane from Atlanta to Newark, and then we got on these small airplanes to Newark to Syracuse. So halfway there, I look outside, it was pouring snow. I said to myself, what did I get myself into?
So this might be a weird question, but like, had you ever been like cold in your life until that point? Like, did you know what like being cold like that was like?
It had a little bit of snow in Atlanta.
Oh, yeah.
It wasn't too bad.
Yeah, a little bit.
But this is nothing compared to this. Because we were stationed up in upstate New York where they say there's only like 2 months of summer. And summer it's not even like summer.
Yeah,
summer.
It's not summer. It's like 50, it's 60.
So,
jeez.
It was when we landed, the airplane, it was a small airplane. I think it was like 12 passenger airplane, and we were parked 50 meters from the terminal.
Oh yeah.
And it was just like snow. It's like I was like, and I was walking outside, and everybody's looking at me like, the hell is this guy doing with only a t-shirt?
I didn't have a chance.
Didn't give me any time. Jean short and sandals. I was like, man.
Yeah.
It was miserable.
That's crazy. Yeah. So you're in the army there, and you get to keep playing rugby in the army. Is that right?
Yep. You know, I was in the army. I was active for almost 4 years because I signed for 4 years. Before my 4 years ended, started playing for the U.S. I was playing for a club there, Fort Drum Rugby Football Club there, and play with the Army team, the Combined Service team. Mm-hmm. And from the Combined Service team, I got selected for the U.S. team to tour U.S. team. I think it was like 99, I think, okay, at that time. So, you know, I spent 4 years up in New York, and I have like difficult time trying to get out. Because, you know, like I was in infantry, and they sometimes need personnel. So I just have a hard time to try to travel with a team or go with a team because it's mission first, you know. Mission first,
So. You got other commitments to the country. So, that's interesting. So then when did you like go to California then? Like, and did rugby kind of take you to California, or like how did that work out?
It was kind of rugby. That's when I met my first wife.
Uh-huh.
She's Samoan. You know, she grew up in American Samoa. I kind of knew her in American Samoa. Mm-hmm. And she kind of like found me in New York. Mm-hmm. So that's when I kind of make the decision, like, I'm just going to go out, get out active and do reserve.
Right.
And then see if my recruiter have anything in California so I can move closer to her.
Right, right. Yeah.
And then do my obligation for the reserve or National Guard. So that's how I decided to get
across the country.
I wanted to like go airborne. I wanted to I wanted to re-up again, but to go airborne. I did air assault and all other schools, but airborne was one of the things that I wanted to do.
Yeah.
But then they say like, if you want to go airborne, then we have to send you to Korea.
Oh.
I was like, well, that's just the purpose of me trying to like get on the national team and get there, you know? So I was like, you know, just I'll be in the reserve.
Harder to tour when you're in Korea, right?
Yes.
Right.
Yeah. So, but the training, I love the training. Army training taught me so much. Things because when I was up there, I was on the fast track.
Yeah.
I was like an E1 when I got up there, and in like 6 months, I got like to an E4, like immediately waiting for a sergeant, a promotion and stuff. So, but you know, it's just like the training, like everything that they threw at me is like, okay, I'll take it. Air assault school, armor school. You know, land navigation, any school that they throw at me, I'll take it.
That sounds like super interesting stuff to learn too.
Yeah, it's good stuff and good training, but the weather is just like crazy. Oh my God. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So, okay. So then you get back to California. Mm-hmm. Is this kind of like where your national career kind of like starts to take off then? Is this like when you get selected to the Eagles?
Yeah. When I was in New York, I played for the Combined Service.
Yeah.
That's how. And then we did the ITT. Remember the ITT back then?
Yeah.
When there's like seven territories plus the Combined Service. And that's how I got recognized by the national panel. John Tyler is the coach at the time. He came up to me and said, hey, you want to travel with the sevens team, the U.S. sevens team? I was like, oh, that's awesome. Yeah. I was like, yeah. So that's how I got introduced.
Interesting.
And then from there, when I moved to California closer, now closer to where the national team usually like gathered and like national team office when they were stationed in like California and stuff.
Right.
So, and that's where kind of like everything start over there. Like,
very nice.
You know, yeah.
So sevens kind of got you kickstarted. When did you kind of like, you know, play 15s at the same time? Like, when did that kind of come into the picture?
The 2000, when I got selected to tour to play in the Pacific Rim.
Yeah.
So the Pacific Rim, there's Tonga, Samoa, Fiji, US, Canada. I think Japan was in it as well. I get the chance to travel with the team. So that's when I first got my cap is when we play Tonga in Tonga.
And was it true that you were the first American Samoan to play for the U.S. team?
I didn't even know that at that time.
Oh, really?
It was funny because
did they know that?
They were.
Is this something you learned like later? Everybody learned this later.
Later, yeah, it was later because my mom went. My mom messaged me.
Yeah.
Because they had it was on the radio.
Yeah.
She was listening. My mom, she listened to her radio like in Samoa. Everyone listens to their radio.
Yeah.
And there was a question somebody to win like I don't know a gift card or something on the radio, and my mom said the question was, who is the first American Samoa to play rugby for the U.S.?
Yeah.
And like
my mom, got it right.
My mom got it right. Because she knows the guy that that she called in and say yeah, and then they say God caught it right.
Yeah.
I was like, okay, I didn't know that. Yeah,
you might not have even got it right then.
Yeah, I was like, okay, yeah. I guess so. Yeah,
no, that's crazy.
And it came in because when we play seven in Hong Kong,
yeah,
we won the plate that one year. I think it was 2001 or two, and when I was up getting the plate, I lift the plate up, right? Mm-hmm. I guess they took a picture, and my mom showed me like on the it came on the paper, pictures, like front page. Like,
that's crazy.
So I was like, okay.
So then for you to make your first, like get your first cap against Tonga, like in this, that's probably meant a lot to you, right? Like playing that Pacific.
Oh, yeah.
I'm sure that's got to be awesome feeling. Yeah.
Well, it were two games.
Okay.
So we have to play Fiji in Samoa.
Okay.
In Western Samoa, because at the time Fiji had some parliament stuff.
Oh, yeah.
So
yeah.
They end up taking the game to Samoa. So we play Fiji in Samoa. I didn't get a chance to be on that team, so I didn't get the cap. From there to Tonga to play Tonga, and that's when I was on the 23, so I was on the bench. Yeah. And like both trip to Samoa, it was just a mind-blowing.
Crazy,
just to
like
see,
emotional.
Yeah,
I'm sure
it was so emotional because I get to see my families from Samoa come over to the hotel and meet. Yeah. Like, I'm like, I cannot believe I'm on the U.S. team and stuff, you know?
Yeah.
And to do it at you know, in Samoa and in Tonga and stuff. So yeah, it was like a feeling that, you know, it's the best moments of my life. Yeah.
Yeah, that's awesome. I mean, that was going to be one of the questions I asked you, but it kind of just like worked that way. So, you know, I guess we can kind of skip over to the 2003 World Cup, if that makes sense. Yeah. So the U.S. goes 1-3, you beat Japan. Like, what do you remember about that tour? Is there anything that kind of like stands out about that tour? Like, is it the win or anything about that Rugby World Cup?
I think the one thing that stood out is how, you know, everyone talks about how U.S. teams are very like patriotic, right?
Yeah.
And this whole tour, I cannot believe how the team, like brothers and togetherness we were. I remember when we were about to play Japan, I think Japan or France. Mm-hmm. And the coaching staff had each player go up and write stuff. What are you most proud of? What are you and stuff? And it was an emotional, like kind of like a thing, you know, like everybody's writing their family and everything.
Right.
And I see tears, everyone in the room.
Yeah.
And it was just like that moment, I felt like I was like, I got like 35 brothers.
Right.
At once, yeah, to come together.
Like, you all feel like you're about to like explode right there. Like you go, let's go play in the parking lot. Right?
it was crazy. It was crazy, and the morale, the in that whole group throughout the 2 or 3 weeks that we were there, it was just this awesome feeling. Like everyone's like respecting each other and stuff, and that's what you know. The win against Japan was good. We almost pulled out the win against Fiji though.
Yeah,
it was like, I think with 1918, we were close, but I think those are the moments that, you know, cherish the most is how we were together. Yeah.
That's an awesome story. Mm-hmm. I like asking people that too, because it's always like different. I've been fortunate enough to talk to a couple people that played in some World Cups and everyone's answer is like different when you like think back on the tour. I think that's one of the really cool things about rugby and all that. So, I guess like switching back to your sevens career, I saw you played in two of the sevens World Cups. I can't remember the first one. The second one was in Hong Kong, right?
Yeah.
And then the same question kind of like that. What do you remember about those tours? I would imagine that Hong Kong was like bananas. Like everything I see about rugby in Hong Kong is like crazy. It's crazy. People are going nuts. Mm-hmm. And so
it's like 2001. It was my first Sevens World Cup.
Yeah,
that was in Argentina.
Yes. Okay, I couldn't. I thought I had in my notes, but
Argentina. They live, breathe, and they love their rugby and stuff. They love their soccer as well.
Yeah,
but rugby, it was just it was like mind-blowing just to see how much love, and you know, it don't matter what team they are, you know, unless you're playing against Argentina, then they whistle and everything you do, they whistle at you.
They let you know.
Yeah, let you know that we're here for Argentina. Yeah. But it was just like, you know, to see these top players that you've watched growing up and stuff, like Soi Saleh Serevi, you know, like, you know, Australia, like one of the Australia's best players at the time, they had Matt Turner. But just to see these players that you watch and for Sevens, it was just crazy. Like for New Zealand, Carl Tanana, Brett Fleming, and those kind of name. It was just mind blowing. But the experience was awesome, you know.
Yeah.
Just to be in that environment and to play in that with those guys, it was just like crazy. Even though we get smacked sometimes, but it was.
You won some matches.
Yeah, we did. We, you know, our challenge was back then because we get together the week before the tournament.
Yeah.
So we train and then go in.
Rugby now, I mean, just like a lot of people that listen to the show are new people to rugby. Like, I think it needs to be said, rugby now is a lot different than it was 20 years ago, right?
Yes. Yeah. Very, very different. And we still compete.
Right.
But these guys compete every weekend, weekend in, weekend out. And we play domestically and then we go out and try to play with these international. Yeah. So we win some games and then we lose some, but it's a growing progress. And look at where it's now. You know, they're
competitive week in, week out. Yeah.
Yeah. Then good outcome every weekend because they train every week, you know, and they know exactly, and they know how to train their body and how to eat well, train well, sleep, and then just train together. And it's good. And, you know, it was good moments. And then Hong Kong, you know, I can't say too much about Hong Kong. Hong Kong is just,
I need to go. That's what everyone says.
I've been to Hong Kong, I think, 4 times. And every single time, it's just levels up. Yeah. So it's
that's funny.
Great experience. They love the rugby there. The administrator there that works Hong Kong Seven, they're full throttle.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's just like, you know, they, you know, everything they do is professional.
Mm-hmm.
You get to see, well, you know, Hong Kong is the weekend, and then they have Hong Kong Tens, which is the best tens tournament in the world. Yeah. And you got all these players from around the world gathering over there in Hong Kong. It's just like rugby heaven.
It doesn't get better than that, right?
There you go.
Yeah. Oh, that's awesome. I guess I just need to go. Maybe we could take like a field trip out there.
We should, I know. We should take a tour like Hong Kong because there's a lot of rugby teams there.
Seriously.
In March and stuff.
It'd be a good practice.
Yeah.
So did you like playing 15s or 7s more?
I'm kind of like both.
Yeah?
Yeah.
For like different reasons?
For different reasons. 15s, I can use my vision and use... Like when I played, I think about stuff ahead of time and it challenged me, you know, if it's right or wrong.
Yeah.
And then when I say it's right, then I'm like, yes, you know, like I did it right. I thought about that. I thought about 2 things ahead.
Right. It's like playing chess.
Yes. It's playing chess, you know, like you're right. And, you know, I want to challenge myself sometimes, just think that I'm right most of the time. If I'm wrong, then how can I?
Yeah, like, why was I wrong?
Yeah. So it says that. And then sevens, you know, it's kind of like similar things with a lot of space now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, how can I, you know, and just keep my fitness up because go and stuff.
It's not, I've played like social sevens out of shape and it's not a good time. It's
But just to play in that international level, you got to be top and stuff. And some people like can't adapt. I can adapt.
Right.
You know, like, you know, playing nine. And then like when I was my first cap, I was playing nine.
Yeah.
And then they start putting me like fullback wing for the U.S. team.
Right.
Because they know that I was quick enough to be out there. But, you know, to just to like in sevens, we have all that space, you know, you got to be fit, got to be able to run the ball and then be able to run 50 more meters back there, try to chase the guy that just got the ball, right? You know? So those things just like, but I think that I love them the both.
Yeah.
So, yeah. If you put me on the sevens team, I'll
fit right in. Do the same thing. Yeah, yeah. I like that's a good answer. Mm-hmm. So I know we're going to kind of skip a little more steps, so skip over some PRP stuff, but I wanted to make sure I got a chance to ask you about that Denver Stampede team that you played for, the year of pro. And it's like I said, everybody, you don't have to get in the weeds, but just kind of what do you remember about that team? Like, how much fun was it playing with those guys? And obviously that, for better or for worse, that's such a unique season, unique experience. Like, one of the real first like foray into professional rugby here in the States. Like, just kind of like wanted to pick your brain on what you remembered about that season, that team, and just kind of whatever you had to say about that.
Well, I remember very well because at 38, it was my first pro contract, you know? Like, it was, you know, everybody dreams about trying to get to play rugby, get paid, play rugby and stuff. And that was it. It was a moment for me to just say, okay, I tick a box in one of my career and say, I play professional rugby. Yeah. It almost didn't happen because when they came in, we were like running for the PRP.
I remember because it was like at the same time and like sometimes like the Raptors players would be on like stampede duty. And so it's like, sometimes they'd have a full squad. Sometimes they wouldn't. I remember it being like a really weird dynamic.
Yeah, it was weird. And, you know, every senior players at the time, we had a meeting with, coach, Andre, you know, to talk about, what our decision is. And I told Andre, you know, I'm very, when I tell somebody something, I will stay with my word.
Yeah.
My words are stronger than, you know. And I told, when I came here, Andre was like, we need a scrum half. I was like, you have a scrum half. I'm here. I just moved here just I didn't know I was going to play. And then he's like, you know, we can use you, you know, he can learn from you and stuff. I'm like, okay. Because Denver all talked to me too. I was like, I wasn't here to play and stuff. But then, you know, Andre, he talked to me first, you know, so I made that pact with Andre. I'm like, okay, I'll come out.
And then, this is Andre Snyman, right?
Snyman,
Just clear it up for Andre the listeners. Snyman,
So I was like, okay, yeah, that's fine. I'll come out and stuff. So I, you know, and then we have that meeting, you know, that 2016 PRP senior leaders, like myself, Zach Finolio, and then those guys like Casey Rock and stuff. So we had kind of had a meeting, like Andre's like, what are you guys going to do? I was like, I'm here to finish the job that I told you that I come here for. And then whatever happens and stuff. So, you know, and it, like you said, like there was like a lot of scuffle going on and stuff.
Yeah. But
we end up winning the PRP that season. And then after that, it was like, oh, everything's open. So I wasn't even talk, you know, like for PMP. I talked to San Francisco, like, you know.
And that was Luke Gross's team, right?
No. Luke was up at Sacramento.
Oh, Sacramento. Excuse me. Yeah.
So I
get them mixed up.
So the reason why I call San Francisco is because Paul Keeler was a San Francisco coach.
Okay.
So he coaches Golden Gate back when I was
When you were in Golden Gate.
And I talked to him like, hey, do you need a nine? Like, you know, he's like, well, we got a guy. I'm like, okay, that's fine. And then when Stampede scrum half, the starting scrum half, what's his name?
I know. I could probably pull the team sheet up if you want to keep talking. Probably find
it. you know, he got hurt like the first game. And then, you know, I talked to Coach O'Leary at the time. I was like, hey, you know, what are the chances before, you know, anything happens? I was like, oh, you know, we'll see it. We'll let you know if, you know, if there's any chances and stuff. I'm like, okay, that's fine. So then after that first game, like they say that, they call me and say, hey, you want to play? I'm like, Yeah, yeah. Ready. I'm ready. I've been ready.
Was Bobby Imsen or Niku?
Niku Kruger. Kruger. Yeah, yeah, when he messed up his knee. Yeah, poor Niku. Great player, yeah, you know, and stuff. Some caps nice guy. With it. Yes, very nice guy.
Yeah.
Heard the news. So I was like, oh, got it for him. And then they called me. I was like, okay, opportunity. So yeah. I trained with him and stuff. So I was so excited.
How late in the season was that
then? No, this is like their first game.
Okay.
Yeah, and then I think
that was when it snowed, right? Yeah, yeah, I remember that.
I think he tweaked it a little bit and then got worse in the second game.
Okay.
And then the third game, that's when I start coming in and stuff. So
okay.
Yeah, but it was good memories and stuff playing for Stampede. There's a lot of things going on, but you know, I think we had enough leaders to just like say we just keep that away. We just got to keep on playing rugby and stuff. It was great. It's good to have that, you know, the pro rugby and stuff. Minus whatever happened but it was good to have kind of like represent the ITTs, you know, because guys need that, you know, like guys, especially got top players in the U.S. kid, you know,
And showed it was like possible and people were interested. I remember I watched like that whole season. That was when I was like in college. So I was watching it however I could, like on the stream or whatever.
And,
Do you still have some of that purple Stampede kit?
Yes. Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. I've been looking for some of that. I can't find it anywhere.
I should get you one. I think I have a polo and stuff. Yeah. If you want a polo, I'll hook you up with something.
We'll talk about it off air. I appreciate it. So I'm glad you said that. That's interesting stuff. Like, I think it's cool for people to hear about that because I feel like people now just with, you know, the trajectory of the MLR and all that, people are getting into it. And I think it's important to, you know, be aware of the history of it all, like see like how we got here and all that stuff. So this is kind of a big question, Mose, but it's another question I like to ask everyone that comes on is just, do you have a favorite rugby memory? I know you've talked about a lot already, like maybe it's your first cap, maybe it's, you know, any of these things that you've talked about already, but is there like one or a couple that kind of like stick out at the top of your mind?
I think it's when the World Cup.
Yeah.
2003, it was funny because the whole World Cup, I was training as a fullback wing. Mm-hmm. I was going as fullback wing. Last week before we play France and Wollongong, I got told that you're gonna play nine. You're gonna be the backup nine, and I haven't trained nine at all. I've been training back three. I've been playing nine for the club and stuff, but it wasn't, you know, any news to me. But it was just like that relief because I wanted to play nine.
Right.
I wanted to be selected.
That's what I was gonna ask. Like when I think of you, I think of like scrum half. Like I think of you kind of like directing the show just because like when I've seen you play, you've always been playing nine.
So they selected the team. I was like, wow, this is my opportunity.
Right.
Because I was behind a guy that's been playing on the U.S. team, Kevin Delzell, that's been playing nine for the U.S. for a long time. And like, this is my opportunity. Like if they get a chance, I'm going to grab it and go with it.
Right. You
know? So we play the game, like come in the stadium. What a best feeling just to run out there, you know, and just to see all these people. This stadium is like Dick's Stadium.
Yeah.
That small.
Right.
But it was crowded.
That's like, I almost like that better. Like, it doesn't seem like those environments are way just more like electric. Like everyone's there because they want to be there. Like they're into it.
Oh my God. It was just crazy. Like just to look around and you see all these US flag. I'm like, I can't believe how many US like supporters traveled, were there. Yeah. I was like, the best feeling. And the best feeling was, I think was 5 or 7 minutes. I don't know. Maybe 10 minutes in. Kevin got hurt. Uh-huh. I think he twisted his knee or something like that. And they call on me. I was sitting there. They call him like, get ready. I was like, shoot, like, okay. So I got up, got ready, and immediately I went in. And that's when everything just shut down. Like, whatever was around me shut down.
Like,
I was
quiet like, almost. Yeah.
Kind of like said to myself, this is it.
Yeah.
Go out and just perform.
Yeah.
And that I think that was the best moment. I was like, this is, if I can perform here, this can be my team.
Right.
You know, and stuff.
That's awesome.
And then just went out there, just played and
yeah, have fun.
From there on, rugby. Yeah. And from there on, I was like, you know, I was like the starting nine from 2004, five and six until I got hurt. But that was the best moment that I've had of my rugby is just knowing that, you know, I can do it and just like just go out there and perform.
That's
and this is World Cup and, you know, finish strong, you know.
You're right.
Yeah, so that's it.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
So most of it, I guess to kind of transition away from your playing career is just like, how did you get into coaching? Mm-hmm. I was reading that I saw you coaching up at CSU.
Yeah.
That's where I went to college, so I like to see that. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, just how did you get into coaching? And I guess just kind of like, how did you, you know, find your way here to help out the program?
Mm-hmm. Well, when I was playing here, like 2015, 16, mm-hmm. and, you know, there was a women's team here, the mm-hmm. WPL team. And, Kit... she was the coach for the women's team, and she asked me to come out if I can help the backs out. I'm like, yeah, that's fine. But to go full time rugby, not too long ago, I was like every tournament that I go ref, I do referee as well. Mm-hmm. I go referee or anywhere I go coaching and stuff. People like players and stuff. What are you doing? Why don't you start coaching? you know the game so very well and you're passionate about it. I'm like, you know, I don't know. So I just talked to my wife. I was like talking to her, like, what do you think of me just concentrate on coaching? And, you know, and she was just 100% like,
yeah,
go do it. I was like, are you sure? Because, you know, I don't know what's going to happen. Yeah. You know, you know, I don't know, you know, anything about like paying and all that stuff.
Business side of it all.
Yeah, all that. Then, you know, she's like, don't worry. Just go. Just go do it. I know you're going to be good at it. Just go do it. So that's when, so I was reffing at Sevens Tournament, Denver Sevens Tournament 2 years ago.
Out at Dick's?
Yeah, at Dick's. And Amy Ruzert, she was like, I don't know. I think she's director of youth rugby here now for youth in Colorado or like collegiate.
Okay.
But she just came up to me like, hey, you want to coach?
Yeah.
I'm like, I don't know. But she's like, CSU is looking for a coach.
Okay.
And I think you can coach him. I'm like, oh, okay, let me think about it. And,
and
I went home and I was like, I'm going to probably coach CSU. And, like, and Amy told me about it. I was like, go for it. Go for it. And then, I told her, I called Amy up, like, Amy, I'm up for it. Let's do it. I'm going to go up there and coach. So that's when I was like, okay, I quit my roofing job. I was a manager at a shop at the roofing company and started coaching like full time. I started CSU. So when I was at that CSU, old Coach O'Leary, Sean O'Leary, he was coaching, he was helping with the forwards up there. And he was helping with Jesuit as well.
Okay.
Here at
Regis.
Regis, yeah. And then he talked to me like, Moshe, do you want to like come out and help Regis as well? I was like, yeah, because now I'm a, I feel like I'm a full coach. I need to take as much as I can.
Keep coaching.
Yeah. So I there coach at Regis and, you know, Coach Regis last year won their state last year.
Yeah.
That's so awesome. I was coaching. I was like, I felt good about that. And then, you know, coaching the women's WPL, they just won 2019 championship and stuff. And then, you know, from there. And then to come, you know, it's, you know, to be honest, like when I was done here 2017, when they announced that there was a head coach opening here, I was hoping that they would say, come coach here.
Yeah.
But it was a dream, but then, hey, it didn't work out.
Right.
But I thank God that I'm here now.
It all kind of works out how it's supposed to, right?
Yes. Yes. And I am, I'm honored and pleasure and so blessed to have this opportunity to be a full-time coach, like in this environment.
Yeah.
Because, you know, like, And I feel like I have more to give back and stuff. Right. And for me to concentrate 100% of my time to doing it, I can be good at it and just like learn and learn and learn and then give more and more and more.
Yeah.
It'll be a satisfying thing.
Yeah.
Because, you know, rugby gave me so much. You know, travel the world and meet a lot of good friends. And, you know, forever lasting friends and stuff. And some of them, good memories in life. It was all about rugby. Yeah. So,
And that's kind of interesting to, especially to come back into a program like in its infancy per se, like as what kind of is like starting up here. Right. Because now you're, like you just said, there's so much that rugby gave to you and now you're kind of introducing it to like a bunch of people that like are just about to like go on that journey. Mm-hmm. Right. Like that's kind of an interesting way to like, I don't know. I just kind of like thought of that right now. So, like, what have you thought about the program thus far? So, you were out here for the week-long camp in November. Mm-hmm. And, like, it had to be kind of weird because it had to be – I asked Pete Borlase this. I was like, when was the last time you had to boil rugby down, like, this much? And he was like, it's been a long time, like, to talk to these guys. Mm-hmm. But, like, what was that like? Because you're very literally starting from scratch in a way with these guys. So, like, just kind of what was that like going through that camp and – I don't know if you could talk about the progression that you saw, because I mean, you forgot more about rugby than I know, but like even I could like pick up a little things along the way. It looked a little better every week and it looked like they were, I've said this before on a lot of different things. Like I think you hear coaches say a lot, it's okay to make a mistake. Like as long as you're doing it at full speed, I feel like until I watched that camp, that was the first time I'd ever seen that. Like they weren't always making the prettiest passes.
Nope.
They weren't always catching their passes. Sometimes they drifted forwards, you know, sometimes they were offsides, but they were like going fast.
Yes.
So I just kind of like, what was your perspective on all that?
But when we started the camp, my expectation was they're going to be more athletic, but we just got to slow them down.
Yeah.
And then like
it could almost be to their detriment because they're like getting too far ahead of themselves.
So because they just want to come out here and just perform and see how quick they are, how fast they are, how strong they are. But and then it's up to us to just kind of like pull them back and say, listen, rugby is a very control game. You can be muscle and all that stuff, and then, but it's very control muscle and all that, right? And they, like, you see the progression throughout the week. You saw that video and stuff, and they kind of realized that. My expectation was I know these guys can do it because they're athletic enough to do it.
Right.
But it's how they can just like pull back and say, okay, that's right. You know, I can be as fast as I can, but very gentle with the rugby ball.
Right.
Very gentle with how I can deliver this ball to my teammate.
Yeah.
And those are the things that, you know, a player that grew up playing rugby, that's very natural to them, to these guys that we're trying to put it into them, and that's not natural to them. And those are the things that we're trying to do, is just come natural to them, is to be very gentle giant, you know, of
very
the game.
Literally giants. These are like some of the biggest people I've ever seen in my life.
Yes, but I, you know, the camp is just is so much improvement throughout the camp with these guys. Like for instance, Chase.
Stelling.
Yeah, Stelling. Yeah. Big fella.
Yeah.
Came in. And, you know, we sent him a rugby ball. He came back, he did his homework, tweaked his passing a little bit. He looks like he's professional. He's been doing it for all the time. He's out there doing it like right now.
Yeah.
And to see his development, like understanding the game, and to see him, the willingness that he wants to do it.
Yeah.
Very coachable. And all these guys are coachable. They've been in that environment. They're coachable and stuff. And try to learn the game as well. And you see them to develop. Yeah. And I know it's, you know, it's going to be tough because they need more like game times.
Right.
You know, with the situation that we're at. But game time is where we really learn. Yeah.
I remember when I started playing rugby too, it was like, didn't make sense to me until like halftime of the first game. I kind of get like what we're doing in practice now. Like, I see why that, you know, what this did for me, like in the game, I could see the scenarios. And I think you have a unique experience just like coming up through the club scene, playing for the national team. So like being in this environment, like what could this do? Like, have you seen people like this before? Like how these are like a different type of athletes, right? Like what could this do for rugby as a whole, like, you know, funneling these guys into the national team, like how, like, I just don't know. I feel like the potential for this program is just like the sky's the limit, honestly. Oh, yeah. So
for sure. I think it opens eyes for especially high school and in college level. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, like a lot of these NFL teams are going to like rugby tackles now, mm-hmm. and they're adapting everything. Like I've seen, Seattle Seahawks.
Yeah, that was the first one.
You know, with Sereri program going in, they invited rugby guys to come in and just show them techniques and stuff.
Yeah.
And they're adapting it very well. And it's just opening that door to know that when I'm a parent and my kid is like, okay, you can go play rugby. Uh-huh. Play football. Rugby can teach you some lesson. Football can teach you lesson. It's like a crossover thing, right? And then both way. And then you go up, you know, understand, you know. And then there's opportunities, right? If you go here, there's no football. You can go rugby because you already train your brain and everything in rugby. And it's a quick transition.
For sure.
Instead of us just concentrating on one thing.
Right.
One thing that to go straight to football and then try to get over, like right now, to rugby. It's kind of tough. But those two things, like from the beginning, it works very well. It can transition pretty well if, you know, it opens up eyes to everywhere. So, yeah.
Yeah. And then I guess one of the last questions I'll ask you before I let you go, Mose, is like, were you surprised? Was anything about the camp surprising to you? Because I know just from talking to the guys, like I've asked them, you know, what did you expect like coming into this? And they're like, I literally didn't know what to expect. I didn't know what I was getting myself into. Like, they said it was a nice, refreshing change of pace. It wasn't run like a football camp where the coach is like on your ass the whole time. Mm-hmm. Like, but was there anything about it that was surprising to you? Like, were you surprised to see what they looked like on Saturday compared to what they looked like on Monday, or what about it at all? Like, did it kind of go as you planned? Did you have a plan? Just kind of, what did you think about like the progression of the camp?
Oh, I think, the one thing that stood out to me is them coming in and just like all out.
Yeah.
And then kind of like in the middle, like they realized like they didn't have to do that. And then they're very calm and respectful of each other. They're looking at each other like, you're my brother. We're going to do this together. Yeah. And we can't do this just by myself. Mm-hmm. We got to do it as a team.
Together, yeah.
And just to see them work together as a team, I think that was the best thing to do it.
Yeah.
And they were just like, you know, like football, you come in, do one play and you're like, they didn't do that. This just came like, let's do it again.
Yeah.
And let's do it like a very calm rugby manner.
Right.
And, you know, and stuff. It's never over until that whistle blows.
Right.
This one play, you know, we cannot celebrate now. We celebrate until that 40 minutes is done. We go in 10 minutes, talk about it. We come back out. We do it again for 40 minutes. And it was just like, and not even like, one moment, just cheer, whatever. It's just wait till everything is complete.
Right.
And then they like, let's reward ourselves by just like shaking hands and stuff.
Yeah.
And then just calm demeanor about it and stuff. Just that.
Yeah. One of the things I noticed I was kind of surprised by was like how much they expected of themselves so quickly. And then, I mean, I heard you guys say it throughout the week was like, you have never done this before. You've never touched a rugby ball like this before. You've never gone through a training like this. Like you can't, you know, expect yourself to be perfect, right? Mm-hmm. When this is literally brand new stuff to you. I thought that just goes to show like what type of athletes and competitors these guys are. And it's just a different level. So I thought that was interesting as well. And then mostly the last question I wanted to ask you just kind of before I'll let you go. And thank you. This went a little bit longer than we were anticipating, but I've really enjoyed the conversation a lot. So
me too.
Do you remember like when you first started to play rugby, like, when it hooked you, like when you caught the bug? Was it your first training? Was it your first match? Maybe it was like the first tackle you made or the first time you scored a try. Like, do you remember like when you caught the bug?
Yes, I really do.
Like it pinpoint?
Was, yes. It was first time playing. I was a freshman in high school and I was playing wing and my first time playing wing and stuff. And to score my first try, and I did it in fashion.
Yeah.
Honestly, I literally caught the ball, sprinted 50 meters down the sideline, fullback chasing me across. And I jumped up.
Yeah.
And was in the corner. He jumped at the same time. So while my body's on the outside, and I reach over and score the try.
Yeah.
And I saw right in front of their supporters and stuff. And they went crazy.
For you.
For me. They went crazy. And I looked up and they're like jumping up, like, what was that? And I go, like, like, and that's how I got hooked up. I was like, this is it. I'm going and then end up scoring top try of the league. Right. So I was like doing it, the same thing. It hooked me up.
Awesome. Yeah.
So that was like a special moment. Yeah. That was kind of like, okay, this is me. This is my thing.
And the reason I asked that is because like that again is different for everyone. But like, I wonder in these guys who have played rugby for 2 months now, like kind of, mm-hmm. right. They've been training.
Yeah.
They went through the camp, like, and then maybe they won't know until the matches start. But like, I wonder if maybe you can see it in them. Like maybe you see like a couple guys like catching that bug, like the wheels turning on their head, like things starting to click. Like I mm-hmm. wonder if that has happened already, or if like, you know, maybe in a couple of weeks here when we can play some matches, if that will like be what the final thing that does it for them. But I guess only time will tell.
Yeah. I've seen a little bit here and there. You know, you see defensive guys are like exciting to run the ball now and then make a you know, a contact and stuff, you know, they never do that kind of stuff. They all go up, hit people instead of running the ball, you know, but I've seen a little bit of the guys that like are very keen to like do that.
Yeah.
So we'll probably see more that's going to come out like when we, you know, go live and train as a 30-man squad.
Right.
Yeah. It's just going to be exciting to see this. Yeah.
I'm looking forward to it. I know I was itching to see him scrimmage at the end, but mm-hmm. due to the COVID regulations that unfortunately didn't happen, but it sounds like we're moving in the right direction with all that. So hopefully we see some live rugby soon. So mostly that's all the questions I had for you, man. I thought this was an awesome conversation. So thank you so much for your time. Looking forward to watching what you do with these backs and the attack and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. So thank you, Mosay. I appreciate it.
No worries, brother. Thank you for having me.
All right. I hope everybody enjoyed that conversation with one of the newest coaches of the Rugby Town Crossover Academy, Mosay Timoteo. I know I certainly did. Big shout out to Mosay for taking some time to chat with me the other day. Guest make the show, and I thought he was an awesome guest. Had a lot of cool stories to share, and I'm very glad that he came on and chatted with me for a few minutes. So thank you again to Mosay. With that, we'll go ahead and jump into the required reading portion of the show. Can't believe I forgot to mention this last week. First show out of the gate in 2021, and I botched the required reading portion. But it is kind of good because this is the piece I had slated for last week. And it actually makes sense now because we had Mosay on, and the piece is about Mosay. One of them is, at least. So Golf Rugby Report has been doing a list of all-time Americans these last couple weeks. Lots of great pieces on a lot of great people in American rugby. It's a really cool series if you're trying to learn about the people that have pioneered American rugby and gotten it to the place where it is today. And two of them that stuck out to me just because, you know, it lines up perfectly with this Crossover Academy stuff and people that I've had on the show now are the pieces on Luke Gross and Mosay Timoteo. So it kind of worked out perfectly. So maybe I forgot it on purpose. Maybe it was a good, you know, my brain was working ahead. It was working way smarter than my actual brain right now, my body. I don't know. It was working ahead and it kind of worked out perfectly with this. So Mosay Timoteo, Luke Gross, both had pieces done by Alex Goff, Goff Rugby Report. Luke Gross, obviously a guy we had on the show back in September. Very interesting story and a great guy. Then Mosay, same thing on today's episode. Come to help out with the Crossover Academy recently. Legend of the game, like I mentioned before. So I would recommend going to check those out and check out all the other pieces that Alex has done. You know, people that he's done pieces on as well. Like I said, it's important to go learn about all those people. So I recommend checking those out. And as always, I'll put a link to all those stories into the article that houses this podcast. So with that, we'll go ahead and jump into the loop, wrap up the show the same way we do every week, and that is with the loop. So the loop just kind of talking about what we've got going on, how you can keep in touch with us. So I've already got a few interviews in the bank for the next few weeks that I'm looking forward to putting out there. Still working on that special project I mentioned last week. I'm excited for people to learn about it. I've been reaching out to a lot of people to kind of make it happen, and I'm making some headway, so excited about all that. And hopefully we have something for you in the next few weeks. I could very well spill into February, depending on how long the NFL playoffs go. That's kind of my hint. On another note, the training starts for the Crossover Academy today by the time you're listening to this, so starts on Friday. I will not be at practice, unfortunately, because I've got to take my car in for some work tomorrow, but I will be covering it to the best of my ability. Just going to miss the first day, unfortunately, but some exciting stuff around that, as I have heard some whispers about some matches on the schedule. Obviously nothing is confirmed, and it would be hard to even confirm anything with how fluid everything is still in everyday life. But it's exciting nonetheless to see some matches start to take shape, obviously. And as soon as those come to light, I will be sure to share what I know with you all. So make sure you're following along with us on Twitter at @DNVR_rugby and at Colton Strickler. If you want to follow along with the Rugby Town Crossover Academy on Twitter and Instagram, you can do that by following the Rugby Town National Training Center. That's at @RugbyTownNTC. That's where all that content lives. I'm not sure people are familiar with that yet, but there's been a lot of good pictures, a lot of good videos being posted on there, so I'd recommend going to check that out if you're interested in what's kind of going on here and looking for a way to keep up with them outside of through me and my coverage through the rest of the season. Make sure you go follow those Twitter and Instagram accounts. Other than that, that's my show. Thank you for the support over the last year. Look, like I said at the top of the show, looking forward to another good year. Looking forward to do bigger and better things this year. Thank you all for listening. I hope that you had a great week. I hope you have a great weekend, and I will catch you all back here next week.
One happy birthday .com.